going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFL draft in the books, and a lot of the pundits are loving what the Pittsburgh Steelers did over the weekend. Let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Brooke Pryor covers the Steelers for ESPN. She joins us now. And Brooke, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start, though, with what they didn't do until the sixth round, and that's draft a quarterback. They had multiple opportunities to draft Shedeur Sanders, who surprisingly didn't get picked till the fifth round. Were you surprised they didn't take a quarterback until Will Howard in the sixth round?
A little bit. I'm not surprised that they didn't take Shedeur Sanders in the first round. I know that that was my mock draft projection, mostly because I thought that the Steelers had done some pretty un-Steelers-like things throughout the offseason in terms of making the trade to get DK Metcalf, having this public flirtation and courtship with Aaron Rodgers. It felt like, okay, well, maybe the Steelers are just going to continue to make these wild moves and draft Shedeur Sanders, but I was impressed that they kind of stuck to their guns, went back to their organizational philosophy and identity to go with Derek Hardman to address the defensive line, which is a significant area of need, I think almost even more glaring than the quarterback situation when you consider the fact that Cam Hayward, yes, he had an incredible year last year, but he is closer to retirement than he is to the prime of his career. So I think that they needed to address that spot. I was a little bit more surprised that they didn't take Shedeur in like the fourth round or in the third round as he continued to fall. But to me, this goes back to how confident the Steelers are, A, that Aaron Rodgers is going to eventually sign with them, and B, that they really do believe in Mason Rudolph, that he can be QB1. And I think in drafting Will Howard, they have a similar enough skill set, stature, all of those things that I just keep thinking about Art Rooney II saying in his end of season news conference that he wanted to have a quarterback room that was pretty similar so they didn't end up in a situation like they were in last year where Justin Fields is this dynamic runner and Russell Wilson at this point in his career is not, and it caused them to have to make some offensive changes on the fly.
Well, Brooke, are you expecting Aaron Rodgers to sign with them soon? And if and when he does, do you think he has enough left in the tank to lead the Steelers to their first playoff win since 2016?
You know, in the month and a half, or it really feels like the decade and a half that I've covered this, Aaron Rodgers maybe will sign with the Steelers. I have learned to not expect anything from him. I mean, I could expect him to go to the moon tomorrow, and it wouldn't be a shock if he did or didn't. But I think the Steelers feel like it's going to happen soon, or at least that's what they're saying publicly. Maybe they really think that. Maybe they're trying to manifest it. Maybe they're trying to put some pressure on him. But let's be honest, there is no pressure on Aaron Rodgers now that the Steelers have gone through the draft. Like, this is kind of their last opportunity, their last, like, turnaround here, moment, their last off-ramp before they continued full speed ahead on the Aaron Rodgers train. They could have drafted a first-round quarterback. They obviously didn't. So they, if there were any eggs that were not in the Aaron Rodgers basket, that they have picked them up and they have put them in there. And so it's very much the ball is in his court. If and when he does sign in Pittsburgh, I don't know what he has left in the tank. I mean, it's still, yes, he has the name brand Aaron Rodgers. He has the four MVPs. He didn't do a whole lot last year in New York that made me say, yes, this is absolutely the guy that the Steelers should risk everything to bring in. But their other options weren't great once Justin Fields went to the Jets. So, I mean, at this point, I guess you have to hope that he finds something left in the tank if he ends up in Pittsburgh.
Brooke, I find it a little baffling, though. Like, this is a team that has fallen apart late in multiple years, right, that has run out of steam. And this quarterback, you could argue, started running out of steam the end of his last MVP campaign, where he wasn't great in that playoff. And then the year after that, he wasn't good at all. And then he goes to the Jets. We know, right? So, like, there's that part of this. But it's also, like, he's never been there before. Like, this isn't like they hired some, like, they've been running, the Green Bay offense there for years, and they hired one of the coach's former Bobos to run this thing. Like, he don't know nobody there. He don't know the players. He doesn't know the coaches. Like, he can't just go walk the earth like Kung Fu like he did last offseason, right, and come in the first day of training camp and compete. Like, don't they need to give him a cutoff point where it's like, dude, you're either in or you're out?
I'm with you. If I was running things in Pittsburgh, there would be a cutoff point. I would probably not even engage in conversations this long with Aaron Rodgers because of all those things you mentioned. And also, by the way, he does not fit the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive philosophy at all. He has not been the quarterback of a team that has a very strong run game at any point recently, and really throughout his career, that hasn't been an MO of his offenses. He loves to throw the football a lot. I think he had, the most pass attempts last year, at least top 10 pass attempts. That's not what Arthur Smith's offenses typically want to do. That's not what the Steelers as an organization wants to do. They want to build through the trenches, have a strong run game, at most have a balanced offense. But Aaron Rodgers is a pass-first quarterback, which, you know, a lot of quarterbacks want to be. But that is, he is older. He is more stubborn, as we know.
Yes.
It is going to be very interesting to see the headbutting that I would assume happens if he comes to Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be a very frustrating season for all parties involved.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Going into the draft weekend, I had a bit of a Jack Sawyer fetish, Brooke. I was kind of hoping the Ravens would draft him. He's not super athletic, but he finds ways to get to the quarterback, and I'm already seeing him having a late strip sack against the Ravens at some point, because that's what happens in Ravens-Steelers games. What are the Steelers saying about the draft pick Sawyer?
Yeah, I'm going to guess they're probably also seeing that happen. I mean, he is – that pick surprised me, I'll be honest, because they don't have a need at it outside linebacker, not when you've got a room of T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig. I mean, that felt like a luxury pick, but at the same time, Jack Sawyer is – I mean, the Steelers said it throughout the weekend, but their whole draft class has the Steelers DNA, the grit, the making the right plays at the right times, the national championship pedigree. Jack Sawyer checks all of those boxes, and I think that he makes this position group that much stronger. And by the way, I mean, yes, their priority is still to sign T.J. Watt to an extension. T.J. Watt is still, I mean, I would say at the prime of the peak of his career, could be starting to crest that hill, but they're now setting this position up for the future. I think it's a smart pick, but not one that I necessarily expected, because it was not a glaring need going into this draft.
Well, Brooke, now that the draft is behind us, outside of the quarterback position, of course, what are the holes left on this Steelers team?
I think the secondary is still one to watch. I mean, they did a good job addressing the trenches, I felt like, but they just today announced the release of Ryan Watts, a sixth-round cornerback pick from last year. He had a season-ending neck injury in the preseason a year ago in the preseason finale, and at the time they diagnosed it as a stinger, but clearly much more severe than that. The team is saying that after talking with medical people, their recommendation is that he doesn't play football again. Watts didn't have a chance to develop really into anything at that point, but he could have been a candidate to play nickel. That's still a spot that I think is kind of up in the air. They're still trying to find the right guy to play opposite of Joey Porter Jr. Obviously, they bring in Slay, but he is an aging corner himself. And I think that the Steelers have done a lot of experimenting and bringing in these kind of one-year cornerbacks, hoping to see if maybe that's the right fit. I mean, after they moved on from Joe Hayden, they bring in Pat Pete, and they just haven't been able to find anybody that has any real staying power. At this point, I don't expect them to be able to address that in a trade or bring in an outside free agent. They just kind of have what they have. And then they've got to continue to, you know, work on the safety situation, get Minkah Fitzpatrick in the right spots. He can still be an all-pro player, but a lot of the breakdowns in the defense back in the five-game losing streak that they had to end the season were in the secondary. So I think that they've got a lot of pieces, but they have to now put them in the right spots.
George Pickens, Steeler for life?
I don't know that I would go that far.
Okay.
They didn't trade him this weekend. I thought that that was a possibility, yeah, despite the Steelers saying otherwise. But I think that they have now signed themselves up for some headaches in the negotiation process. That will be definitely one to watch. I don't envy the tasks that Omar Khan has coming up in terms of extending TJ Watt and extending George Pickens. Good luck on that one.
Brooke Pryor, always great. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
We'll continue talking about the AFC North coming up next. What do the teams think of their drafts over the weekend? We will hear from the powers that be, Andrew Berry, Zach Taylor, Omar Khan. It's Northern Exposure next here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I mean, you never really know. I mean, you know, I think we talked the other day, but we're guessing like everyone else. You just don't know, and just sort of fell that way.
That's Omar Khan, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, talking about the quarterback board. And we just had Brooke Pryor on talking about the Steelers. And there was a lot of talk that they were linked to Shedeur Sanders. Well, the Steelers had, they didn't have a second round pick, but they had three swings to get Shedeur Sanders in the first, third, and fourth, and they did not take him. They ended up taking Will Howard, national championship quarterback out of Ohio State, former
Good
Kansas
luck with
State.
That.
Yeah, he's not special. Alas, what did you think of their decision at quarterback?
I mean, to pass on Shedeur Sanders that many times. Look, they did have Justin Fields there last year. To not have maybe taken a shot at Milroe, to come out of it with a quarterback that sort of
meh,
athletically, physically, mentally, accuracy-wise, I mean, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, you guys know where I stand on that. Like, that's just courting disaster. I think bringing Aaron Rodgers into their building could undermine a lot of the good things that they have done in this draft, in all likelihood. And yeah, I think it's an opportunity lost not taking a flyer on something. I mean, even the kid from Syracuse, it's a very odd approach to me.
Jason, not just Steelers specific, but why do you think Shedeur fell as far as he did?
Well, I don't think the Giants were ever taking him, and I told you that. I don't think the owner wanted anything to do with him. I don't think the owner wanted anything to do with his dad. I think the owner has a very set sort of idea on what he thinks, how he thinks quarterbacks act and what he thinks quarterbacks should say and not say. So, you know, that was one team. The Saints preferred Jackson Dart.
Yes.
And once he left, did I think they would have taken Sanders day two sooner? Yeah, I didn't think there was any way he would get into day three. But, I mean, look, his personality, the way he handled these interviews, the nonchalance which he handled some of the workouts and the availabilities with NFL people, you know, not going to the Senior Bowl. There's a lot of things he did that made people inclined to say, all things being equal, I'll pass. I think the offense under Pat Shurmur was pretty rudimentary. He held the ball too long. He tried to do too much. He took a ton of first down sacks. Yeah. Still, for him to go pick 144 or whatever, it does boggle. He's one of the more productive recent college quarterbacks. He turned two programs around. His dad is one of the greatest football players in NFL history. The kid is tough as nails. But I think this got a little personal between him and some of these teams. It clearly seems to have. And it is obviously increasingly odd that the Browns take him after taking Gigi's quarterback from Oregon.
Dylan Gabriel, yeah. So let's get to that. Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, talks about drafting Shedeur Sanders.
You know, Shedeur, you know, we talk oftentimes about quarterback being the most important position in the sport. We obviously spend a lot of time with Shedeur throughout the process. Oh, he's highly accurate, can play well from the pocket, you know, very productive college career. And, you know, we felt like it wasn't necessarily the plan going into the weekend to select two quarterbacks. But, you know, as we talk about, we do believe in best player available. We do believe in positional value. And, you know, we didn't necessarily expect him to be available in the, you know, in the fifth round. And so we love adding competition to every position room, and adding him to compete with, you know, the guys that are already in there. We felt like, you know, that was the appropriate thing to do.
Jason, it's weird. So they take Gabriel in the third round, and that looks like, okay, career backup quarterback. He's comfortable being a backup. And the talk was they're not going to take Shedeur in the third round because they want the backup quarterback. And then in the fifth round, Shador's still there, so now they take Shedeur as well.
You're not going to convince me that when they get out on the football field that they're not going to, like, Shedeur Sanders isn't a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, he
like,
is.
You're not, so...
At that point, it's an ownership call, though, right?
I think he probably had something to do with it. But, like, whatever their football plan was, I don't know what, I don't know if you're going to buy out Watson or just pay him to stay away like Houston did the final year there. I really don't know. I mean, if somebody gets hurt somewhere, do they try to trade Pickett for whatever just to get him out of there? Like, that really, he seems really redundant now with two, when you just drafted two quarterbacks. I don't know, guys. I can't make heads or tails of it. I do think if Shedeur Sanders handles himself the way I know he's capable of. Now, I'm not saying he does that all the time, but, like, if he turns on the charm for 7-8 weeks during OTAs and a couple of months during training camp, I think he's their second best quarterback. I mean, I like, if you want to start the year with Flacco because that's just what you want to do, but like, I have a hard time thinking he won't be their second best quarterback.
Let's talk about the rest of their draft, because a lot of people love what they did. First of all, they traded down. They got Mason Graham. They added a future first. Carson Schwechter was a guy we talked about a lot going into this draft. They took him at the top of the second round.
33-1 to go in the first round.
Missed it by one pick.
The two running backs, Judkins out of Ohio State and Sampson out of Tennessee, looked like good players, and the tight end Fannin. They did a lot of good in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously reconstructed really sort of their offensive identity, the two running backs. I still don't know about their offensive line. I still don't know about the – I mean, I don't think they have a quarterback, like even Flacco. Like, how long does that last? I suspect Shedeur Sanders, again, as long as he doesn't talk his way out of the job, has a chance to play there this year. Maybe I'm crazy, but I do. But then again, I owe Mateo $100 because I said at the Bowie game, there's no way that – when we get home, Shedeur Sanders is still going to be undrafted. And I'm like, this is Friday night. And I'm like, we're not going to get home until like 11:30. I'm like, no, you're crazy. I owe him $100. So that's
wow.
me.
Sharky. Sharky.
And I mean, the rest of the draft, I am really interested to see if Mason Graham is an elite disruptor. I'm not convinced he's going to be. I think he could be like a very good football player. I don't know if he's going to be great or transformational. I still think they got a lot of issues.
Let's go to Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, says their team got better over the draft.
Really excited about the six men that we drafted. I think they all really fit us really well from a player standpoint, what their abilities are, from a character standpoint, how they're going to fit in the locker room. Again, I'm really impressed with this class, and I think we walked away and we made our football team a lot better over the last 3 days, and I'm really excited about it.
Only one evaluator, but Dan Brugler from The Athletic has the Bengals draft ranked 29th out of 32 teams. We talked about Shamar Stewart on Friday, but the rest of the draft, they got a couple of linebackers, a guard, a tackle, and a running back.
To me, that's a team that needed a whole lot more than six picks.
Yeah.
And I still have questions about their offensive and defensive line. Serious questions. And Trey Hendrickson does. When does he show up? I don't know. Week 3? Week 5? I don't know.
Could they still trade him at this point, Jason?
Or you could always trade somebody. Yeah.
You ideally would have wanted the picks this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do it for players, but that would be tricky.
Coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast, and we'll look at day 3 for the Ravens, and they got themselves a kicker. And a bunch of other picks we'll review next here on The Fan.
Now, I haven't really thought about that at this point. I just thought he was a really talented player. And it made sense for us to do that for a lot of different reasons. You know, I mean, we've told you guys multiple times this spring that we would look at kickers. And so for us, it's like any other position this year. We evaluated all these guys. We felt like he was draftable. We felt like he was the best kicker. And it made sense for us to take him.
Eric DeCosta on Saturday evening talking about what impact, if any, Justin Tucker's future is going to have with the drafting of Tyler Loop. Before we get to that, let's hear Eric DeCosta's thoughts on the actual drafting of Tyler Loop.
It certainly, you know, it's like this with every position, right? So you have a player that maybe you like, and, you know, you're certainly aware of runs, and we see that all the time, and, you know, it's something that we're very attuned to, and that's really a thing. It's like momentum in sports, right? It's there's a run, and so, you know, we had sort of targeted if we were going to take this guy, it was going to be somewhere probably in the third day of the draft and probably in one of the later rounds, but when you see sort of the toothpaste open up, you know, you have to be aware that, hey, this could start a run, and, you know, we've seen it with other positions. We saw it last year with offensive linemen in the second round. You know, we saw it a few years ago when we drafted Jordan Stout with punters. So it does happen, aware of that. I wouldn't say it necessarily, like, increased the urgency for us necessarily, but it was definitely like, okay, this is the time we probably have to go ahead and do it.
So that was Eric talking about Andres Burgalis was taken at pick 182. Did that impact their decision to take Loop?
That
26?
Was a run, huh? It started a run on kickers.
Well, that was Aloysius's question.
How many? I missed that run.
Well, just to clarify, the question from Aloysius was: Did the did the pick of Borgalis impact their decision to take Loop when they took him?
Yeah.
Question about
it was pretty clear, though, that Loop was their guy. They sent Randy Brown around. Yeah. The kid was wearing a Ravens shirt when he was interviewed on Saturday afternoon. He seemed to imply that he was their guy. Now it's the Justin Tucker of it all.
I mean, my favorite quote of the weekend has to be the one where it's like, well, I wasn't even thinking about Justin Tucker
I
made this pick. That, boy, it takes some real chutzpah or something to be able to look into the camera and say that. That's quite a statement. I mean, where do you think this goes? Is this a kicker competition? Like, I've been wrong many times.
Yeah,
so
I still don't see
Tucker's been in the building. Yes. They let him in the building knowing they were drafting a kicker. Don't buy any of his pablum out when a run's coming, not a run coming. Yeah. They were taking a kicker.
Yes.
And this they kicker, still have let this guy in their building and hid behind the NFL. They've stood by their guy and stood behind the shield and let the NFL investigation take its course.
Uh-huh.
Now that they drafted the kid, release Tucker tonight?
I was lockstep with Ken about the Valentine's Day thing, so we've been wrong before. I would be shocked if he's there at training camp.
Yeah, they drafted a kicker. Okay. They drafted a kicker. He's going to be their kicker unless he falls on his face.
Well, it depends on how long this investigation. They're hiding behind the investigation.
It's not going to be short.
No, absolutely not. That's why I said training camp. So July-ish, hopefully the investigation's done by then. Hopefully it's done well before then.
So let me just...
If they've held on to him that long, why wouldn't they just keep him as insurance in case the kid can't do the job?
I can't explain any of this. I don't think either.
But he's saying they're going to cut him before camp. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you're going to endure the PR fiasco and have him on your roster for 6 months between when the banner story broke and the first day of camp, why wouldn't you then just have him around in case you need him?
Well, if he's suspended, which we presume he will
But they're allowed around in camp.
Yeah. I know.
So if he's clearly better than this kid... You're telling me you don't think there's any chance that they're going to evaluate this draft pick versus Justin Tucker in real time through the spring and into the summer?
Here's what I think happens. They're going to have this kid there for all these OTAs and mini camps. If they think he looks the part, they cut Tucker before training camp.
You can't evaluate before a kicker in OTAs.
I'm just saying it's watch him
kick. It's not even a preseason game.
But they're going to watch him.
There's no pressure.
They're going to watch him kick. See if he looks the
part. So you think even before the investigation's before training, done?
I think yes.
There's no pressure. There's no chance somebody can run over you. Nobody's allowed to touch you. There's nobody's job on the line. You're not. The long snapper's not going to get cut if it's a bad snap. None of that.
I've been wrong many times.
The hell are you going to do it in OTAs?
They're going to watch him kick, see if he looks the part.
They're going to
see if he looks the part.
I think they're waiting for the investigation.
It's not like they found this kid soccer in the Congo something. He played big time college football. He kicked.
Arizona. It's also worth saying. This past year, Justin Tucker was one of the worst kickers in football. This isn't prime Justin Tucker.
And he's still on their roster.
I don't know why he's on their roster. If I was running the team, he would have been gone immediately. But they're hiding behind the investigation.
Let's look at the...
I think these two are going to compete for this job.
Let's look. Well, that could be like the Cundiff Tucker thing, which and then Tucker won the job from Cundiff, in 2008?
I'm not saying it's going to be a totally fair fight, but if Justin Tucker looks in their eyes considerably better than this kid, and Justin Tucker gets a 2-week slap on the wrist...
Does Justin Tucker kick again for the Ravens?
I don't know.
Yes or no? Does he?
I don't know if this kid's going to be better than him, but I think it's going to play out.
You sound like my dad. Like, what do you think? Yeah. Your opinion.
Today,
does he kick again?
Right now.
I don't know anything about this kicker.
Okay.
This other kid. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know.
You can still have an opinion whether or not he kicks again.
Tim,
I don't think he ever kicks again for this team.
I don't think so either. I would be shocked.
I think he will have an opportunity to kick for his job. Now, who wins that competition? And how slanted is it? I don't know. But they don't seem to want to not... They seem to want to have the rights to control Justin Tucker's career. They seem to be clinging to that. I'm guessing it's not a coinkydink or a fluke. I'm guessing it's for competitive reasons.
So this dominates the day three, but they made, seven other picks on day three. Anything, Jason... The Teddy Buchanan kid,
yes.
I never heard of him going into it, but man, oh man, is he an athletic
freak. Checks a lot
of
boxes.
Yes, the linebacker from Cal.
Yeah.
And if I'm Trenton Simpson, I'm a little bit on notice here.
Oh, you're definitely on notice. I mean, this kid's going to be able to help. Look, they need core special teams guys too. We've talked about the return guy and the kicker, but like their special teams units were not good enough. So, yeah, I think this kid will have a chance to earn a maybe potentially fairly prominent spot on their defense. His athletic metrics are off the charts.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you look at guys day three that could impact this football team. He, of course, is one of them. We just talked about the kicker, and then they did draft someone with return ability in LaJonte Westers, which Harbs, I'm sure, is very happy about.
Yeah,
Day three will be about special teams.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of evaluators love this kid, Bill Alcone, the cornerback out of Western Michigan that they took with the second pick of the sixth round. We shall see. But people seem to, they like his size, they like his metrics. He's a small Western Michigan kid.
They do a really good job evaluating those guys, and they've now had Chuck Pagano as part of their process this year for the first time in a long time. So that might be a thing.
The other one, Aeneas Peebles, the only defensive tackle they took in the sixth round. He's undersized, but he's a kid with burst. He probably pure pass downs, eventually gets in a rotation as an interior rusher is my guess.
Again, I find it odd that in a class dominated by size, arm length freaks, that they only took one, and the one they took is undersized. I do find that a little interesting. Bobby D found it pretty interesting.
Yes, he did. What did he did like he did like Peebles.
Likes the kid, but it's odd that they zig so far away from the strength of the draft.
Draft is over. I think rookie minicamp's coming up this weekend? Yeah, so, stuff gets real pretty fast. Coming up next, let's hear from Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh. After they spoke after the draft. What did they have to say? We'll hear from them next here on The Fan.
Aeneas Peebles is Coach Harbaugh, one of his guys. He loved his tape. We loved his explosion. He's a little undersized, but he's a twitchy, disruptive player who can rush the passer, who plays hard. I think he's got a really, really good skill set for us as a third down sub rusher who runs to the football and can make some plays that way.
That's Eric DaCosta Saturday evening giving us the scouting report on Aeneas Peebles. What did Bobby D call him? Like a homeless man's Warren Sapp in our group chat. Guy's got some, he's undersized, but got some pass rush burst in his repertoire.
I mean, look, I'm sure they've got visions of a couple of particular, to his point, sub-package personnel groupings where they get him on the field with some other body types that they think they might be able to. Look, with them, it's all about, we talked about it all last week. They will manufacture the pass rush with lesser athletes in order to give the secondary the best athletes they can find, the best that money can buy because they will spend there, or the best premium draft pick. So, like, that's what they're doing. I mean, you're seeing that play out in real time. A draft loaded with some of the biggest, most impactful D tackles ever. They wait till the very end, take a small guy after investing a lot in the secondary.
Yeah, that's the biggest surprise of the draft, considering that you really only had three guys, Brody, Travis Jones, and Nnamdi Matabike, that you're counting on to be serious contributors heading into that
one. How much are you really counting on Brody?
He's in the mix. I'm saying guys that are going to be on this 53-man roster and be a part of the rotation.
Michael Pierce was I never thought these words would come out of my mouth. Michael Pierce was a thing for them 2 years in a row.
Don't worry, Brody can choose violence.
He can
be there.
He can.
Hey, you mentioned the secondary. Eric, what about Bilal Coney?
BK from Western Michigan, as he likes to be known. Tall, long corner. I think he runs really well, good ball skills. I think he can, get stronger, but I think he's got really good coverage ability. I think he's a guy that can play from off and play from press. Good developmental corner with the size that we look for and the speed that we look for.
I think Jalen Armour Davis is finally on the clock here with the drafting of the two corners, and you bring in a Wouzier. I don't know if there's room at the end for Jalen Armour Davis.
I've already got a nickname for this kid. That's probably a bad sign.
BK, yeah. Have it your way.
Quick.
I mean, not ever, right? I mean,
no.
You don't give a kid a nickname you don't think has a chance to make your team. Or like you think he's just a special teamer or something.
You haven't even had rookie minicamp. He's got a nickname.
Yeah. He's
got a nickname like a Raven.
Yes. The Ravens also drafted a big offensive lineman from Alabama A&M. EDC, tell us about Carson Vinson.
Carson Vinson, Coach Warhop, one of his favorite prospects. a small school guy, tremendous size and strength. I can tell you, he came into my office last week. He visited last week and almost broke my hand. And then he tried to shake my hand and he was leaving my office, and I just looked at him and said, I'm good. But he's just a big, strong, physical, athletic player. I think Coach Warhop's excited to work with him.
Ravens love their prospect tackles, Jason.
He's the developmental left tackle.
They needed to dip into that pool. They dipped into that pool. They've had a lot of success finding offensive line talent towards the back end of the draft. Be interested to see. It's going to take time, but he's going to have time. This is not someone who you're thinking is going to contribute to your football team the next couple of years.
We lamented that they didn't have a punt returner all last year, and they used four guys. Well, they drafted in the sixth round LeJonte Wester out of Colorado. EDC, what can you tell us about him?
Wester is a guy that, what stands out about him is really his returnability. If you watch him, I think he's a twitchy, explosive punt returner. I think, last year it became evident that we could probably get better there at that position. Feel like last year's probably I didn't do a good enough job making sure that we had a good punt returner on the team. We had some guys, but we couldn't get the right mix, the right guy to really do it. And we think Wester has a chance to really come in here and be an impact punt returner for us. So excited about him.
Where do we think Wester?
I mean, it's my fault, but it's really not my fault. It's not my fault. I mean, we did have some guys.
Where do we think Wester ranks from best to worst returner?
Had to rank them.
I hope they took the worst.
Yeah. There had to be guys
the worst to make them the best.
Yeah, is he the bottom guy?
That's what I hope. I hope he knows when to field the ball, when to run out of bounds. I hope he understands the rules in this league. I hope he has some decent instincts, and then all the twitchiness and all that, like, that's just gravy at this point. I hope he just understands how to do the job, like at a baseline level, like he understands how to field the football.
Not the worst one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They had him ranked from best to worst.
He did.
Said, right?
Every single one.
Right.
Chris Horton.
By the way, in a stat that's going to mean nothing, this guy caught a ton of balls in college. He's not going to be on the field much for offense, but man, did he catch a ton of footballs.
You say that, but who the hell was catching balls in Buffalo?
Steven Sims had a touch.
The veteran the other who like never played in the regular season.
Anthony Miller and Steven Sims had touches.
Don't go writing these people off.
Yeah, he
might have a bigger playoff game than Mark Andrews. You don't know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of baked into Andrews. Anyway, the guy that I
Mark
like.
Mark Andrews, Raven for life.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
Raven for this contract?
At least not this year.
He could be traded before the season starts. Yeah, we'll get to him tomorrow.
I'm leaning towards Bone on this one at this point, but I was wrong. Teddy Buchanan's a guy I find really interesting. Eric, tell us about the linebacker.
Buchanan was a guy that I did late in the process. The coaches and scouts liked him. I saw a guy that played very hard, very gifted mover, explosive, excellent coverage linebacker, should translate well to special teams. Think he's a really polished, tough, tenacious guy.
He's an athletic freak, Jason, inside linebacker.
Yeah, his like those RAS athletic scores for him were nuts, leaping like in terms of like dead leap and broad jump and the guy was an impactful football player, and that's a position of need, and I suspect we see an awful lot of him in the preseason games.
Oh, we'll see a ton of him. That'll be like Trenton Simpson this past year.
Can't get him off the field.
You'll see him every snap.
Should Trenton Simpson be sweating his role, or is that too early?
I mean,
he was benched a year ago.
He's not going to be given the job like he was
like,
last year.
Do I think
year.
He
He's
makes this football team?
No, I mean starting linebacker. No, I'm talking about starting linebacker.
He'll definitely make the team.
No, it's a competition, man.
One more from EDC. Talks about the feeling that they drafted some guys that can play right away.
Well, it was a long day, a couple of days, but happy the way that it transpired. I think we added some really interesting, good developmental players, some guys that can come in and help us right away. And some guys that, like, looking out, I think we'll be looking back and saying, hey, these guys really helped our team.
Well, that's the hope when you go into one of these drafts, Jason.
11
lottery tickets.
Yeah.
What do they used to call that thing? Whack-a-mole. Got 11, got 11 whack-a-mole hammers. See how many moles we whacked.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you know, the arcade? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the thing would pop up and you smash it with the hammer.
Did they have whack-a-mole with that stupid Jeepers back in the day?
I'm sure they did.
You wasn't your thing?
What?
It wasn't your bag? You're more of a skee-ball guy?
Dude, I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese, they had whack-a-mole.
But you didn't like it? It was a little bit beneath you?
Did you feel bad?
I don't know. You seem very dismissive.
Did you
feel my analogy?
I'm dismissive because you didn't think that I knew what whack-a-mole was.
Bone, did you feel badly for the moles?
Nah, I mean, they're not real.
Beltway Ben, are you familiar with whack-a-mole?
Beltway Ben, are you familiar with whack-a-mole?
You know whack-a-mole.
Yes.
Okay.
Very delayed response.
Yes.
Do you like whack-a-mole,
Beltway
Ben?
Yeah, because he's insulted because you asked him the question.
I didn't know it was still a thing.
I don't think I've done it since I was like 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You take a hammer and you beat the crap out of a rope.
A little affirmation.
Yeah, yeah.
That I wasn't alone and wanting to smack that mole sometime.
Okay, we've talked a lot about this draft. It's in the books. What did Jonas Schaefer think of the Ravens draft? We'll ask him. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us next.